Yeah. I wanna be a billionaire. I ain't getting no sleep till I see a milli every week. Yeah. I wanna be a billionaire. I ain't getting no sleep till I see a billy every week. I wanna be a billionaire. Billionaire, I wanna be a billionaire. Billionaire, I wanna be a billionaire.
Ladies and gentlemen, how you doing? Welcome to another episode of Sleepers for Billionaires, the podcast. I am your host, Johnny Vegas. Now, today is a very special episode, ladies and gentlemen. You're in for a treat, so take some note. Right now, I got my brother on the line, man. This man I knew for probably close to 15 years and counting, man. You know what I mean? We done worked at call centers together. We done rapped together in the studios. You know what I'm saying? I know this man, moms, you know, my mom, you know what I'm saying? It's a moment right now, you know what I'm saying? So, ladies and gentlemen, give it up for my guy, rapper extraordinaire, Heavy Lyrics. What's good, B?
Hey, hey, you did them horns and shit, like they got a drink change. You're like, to make some noise. Ah, oh, what, man? Shit, you know what I mean?
You know what I'm saying? Hey, don't worry about it. Yeah, I was going to put that. I got the audio for that. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to do the editing. Don't worry.
Oh, okay. I got you.
It's going to sound like you at the Buccaneers Stadium.
I like that.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I
like that.
So what's good with you, my brother? I see you in LA. You know, Cali vibes, West Side vibes.
You know, I love it out here, man. It's like my second home, man.
Yeah, that's what it is, man. So, yeah, man, it's good to have you on the show, finally. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I pretty much want to give the people, you know what I'm saying, a little bit of backstory on who you are, how you came up and stuff like that, trials and tribulations that kept you, you know, wanting to chase this dream and this goal of ours, you know what I mean? Because, you know, there was a point in time we both shared the same dream. We still do, you know what I'm saying? And some people don't really, you know, can't stand the test of time and really, you know, see this thing all the way through because of how difficult it may be, you know what I'm saying? But before we get into all that, you know what I'm saying, let's just talk about when the dream first started, man. Like, what did it for you? What told Heavy Lyrics, like, yo, I mean, when did you fall in love with music? Before rap, when did you fall in love with music? Let's start there.
Well, I fell in love with music. I'm about to tip my head here, time frames, but my first album that I owned, I was in the third grade, was Doggy Style from Snoop Dogg. Hey. My mother, when she heard the words, the curse words and shit that we was playing, spasm, you know my mom, she spasmed on me, took the tape, right, boom, I find it in her drawer, I go back to bumping the Snoop, I'm going around the crib, what do you want to be when you grow up? I want to be a motherfucker, you know what I mean? I didn't really know what it was, but I just knew that I really loved it, and then I got Nas's album,
Illmatic.
The message. It was written. Actually, I also had the Tupac, the double album. And by the time I got to about the It Was Written album, I really could appreciate the artistic form of it and the expression of it. And I was like, yo, these dudes are super dope because all they doing is kicking what they living. Like, you know what I mean? So for that, that's where like the love aspect came. And then Jay-Z, of course, you know, I'm a Jehovah's Witness. So it's like, you know what I mean? That's different. You know what I mean? That's church every time he speak. Mm-hmm. But the crazy thing is, I think the first time I actually took it serious was when we did you remember, we had the little group One Hustle. You,
yeah.
Me, Lamont, he.
Yeah,
Rumar,
Wally.
Wow, look at that. That's crazy. We had a dream team.
We was running around, man, going in the TOK studios and all of that, recording.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, that was a minute ago, but that had to be like probably like what, like maybe 12, 13 years ago, something like that. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I can't hear you.
Over 10, 15.
Yeah, for sure, man.
Now, somebody try to hate on it. Somebody try to hate on the interview and call, man.
Nah, we ain't doing that. We ain't doing that. We blocking those. But yeah, man, for me, I feel like I got the same. I fell in love with the same albums. You know what I'm saying? I had the Doggy Style. I had the It Was Written, you know, and the Message, that song, The Message, was my joint. You know what I'm saying? And Hov, of course, you know, I'm originally from New York. So I gotta love Hov. You know what I'm saying? He's the king out there. You know what I'm saying? And of course, you know, I mean, you didn't mention it, but DMX, you know what I mean? His first album had me going crazy. You know what I'm saying? Had me want to be a motherfucking
I rode a bicycle to go get that album mad far. It was like, you remember where Tampa Bay Mall was?
Yeah.
Before, right by the stadium. My man, rode a bike from my mom's crib all the way to Tampa Bay Mall to go get that DMX album. Okay?
Oh, man. Yeah, man. I miss those classic albums, man. You know what I'm saying? And one thing I do miss about those that type of music is like, it definitely had a lot of messaging in it. It had, you know, more lyricism in it, and you can actually understand what these people were talking about, you know what I'm saying, versus now. I'm not saying it's worse, you know what I'm saying? It's just what people like, you know, a lot of it got it's more about flows, and you can't really understand what people saying, you know what I mean? So what's your opinion on the way the music game is today from when the times we came up? Do you feel like, you know, it's better? Or do you feel like a certain
demographic? I'm gonna say it's almost unfair to judge it because of the dynamic change so much as far as when we was coming up, brother, they was building it. You feel what I'm saying? There was no blueprint for it. It was being built. So these boys knocked down walls that will never be rebuilt. And then with the whole resurfacing of the way music got distributed, you know, there was another niche, and like, really, it sucks, you know, being a label owner and an artist, it's like a real catch 22. So it's like, it's beautiful on the independent grind if you know how to navigate the waters of how the industry is now to where you don't need the mega machine. However, if you're not financially stable enough to navigate those waters, you're still not going to be able to, you know, succeed and to the point where you would like to succeed, you know what I mean? But now the beauty in it as well is you don't even have to be a megastar to feed your family if you know what to do properly. You get what I'm saying? Like, everybody thinks that number one big hit, number one, there's some guy right now in Texas that me and you are never gonna ever hear of, and that man probably getting paid crazy. His street, he probably get 500,000 streams just out of Texas alone. You know what I mean? Like,
now, before you proceed, can you elaborate on that for the people that, you know, don't know what that means as far as doing it accordingly and correctly, you know, as an independent artist and really taking advantage of the resources they have today?
Well, first things first, you want to have your business right. That's the biggest thing that I would emphasize. And I hate to sound cliche, but like, you dealing in a business that there's nothing but sharks here. You get what I'm saying? And if your bag is not right, if you're an aspiring artist and you're giving up everything you got to chase this goal that you got to make sure that you know the parameters of what you're doing, because you can end up, everything that glitters ain't gold is the best way to describe it. You get what I'm saying? So if you know, if you have the knowledge to be like, okay, boom, I know that with these websites, with these playlistings, with these this, I'm going to get bigger marketing than if I'm in the strip club and I throw $1,000. You get what I'm saying? If you put your $1,000 towards the proper marketing, that $1,000 is going to already start generating revenue back. That strip club money that you spent looked cool for the night. Whoever was the 100 people that was there just seen you throw $1,000, but that's it. It's no turnaround. You know what I mean? So it's like, it's just a fine line to navigate. You know what I mean? Do you want the look or do you really want the results? Is, I guess, what you, in this day's society. You know what I mean? Because you can be the most poppin'est looking artist. There's hella of those dudes. With what? Like, you know what I mean?
But what? Yeah, nah, I, 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 I feel you on that, bro. And that kind of reminds me of sometimes when I see the flyest dude, you know, with the Jordans and the Gucci belt and the Gucci hat, but he's sitting at the bus stop. You know what I'm saying? You got to get your priorities right.
Definitely. That's definitely. And, you know, like I say, that's all a part of that independent game. You get what I'm saying? Because there's so many hats you have to wear until you have a full team. But when you got a full team, it make things a lot easier. You know what I mean? Everybody knows it's hard. Every artist who ever started off, I don't care, from Jay-Z, there was a machine behind him. You know, every artist, you know what I mean? There's a team behind them, and that's how you become successful. You just got to build your team up properly. Everybody got to play their position. And yeah, realistically,
man, you dropped the jewel just now and kind of went past it. Now, you said you got to wear multiple hats in the beginning to kind of, you know, really formulate yourself, but act as a team, and you're wearing multiple hats. Now, describe some of these hats that you're referring to, you know what I'm saying, for the people who don't know.
Well, check this out. If you're an up-and-coming artist, nobody knows you. You got your Instagram. You got your Facebook. First of all, Instagram and Facebook is two different things. Those are two different jobs. You know what I mean? Those are two different audiences you have to navigate. It's not just one. So, right, you get up in the morning, you got to do all your Facebook joints. You get up in the morning, you got to do all your Instagram joints. That consumes, those are hours. As if you was telemarketing, those are, that was, you just hit however many followers you got, those are all your contacts. You hit them all that day with this info. Boom. You hit the next one with this info. That's just that. You got your Twitters, you got your vlogs, you got your videos, you got your Spotifys, you got your this, that. You know what I mean? There's so many different things. That's one hat, right? That's a manager. But when you first coming out, if you don't have that, now you're playing your manager. You get what I'm saying? Studio time. For artists that's booking studio time, you gotta get studio time. You got to produce, or you're going to rap over these beats that 8.2 million people got. So there's 8.2 of y'all that got the same beat. And y'all wondering why can't nobody get it cleared or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, that. It's just multiple hats. Like, it's just a lot of stuff to do. You know what I mean? Like, it's not just rapping. And then if you're an artist, when do you get your time to just rap? You know what I mean? Like, you still got to be a creator,
focusing on the business and shit. Now, I feel you. Yeah, you know, you got to play your own manager. You got to play your own booking agent, you know, your own writer. You know what I'm saying?
Bookings and shows. That's a whole nother animal. You get what I'm saying? Right. Getting the bookings and all that, that's a whole nother animal. You know what I mean? So there's multiple hats. You know what I mean? That's what I'd be referring to.
Nah, you know I get that. I get that. That's what's up. That's definitely what's up, man. Okay. So now I want to talk about, you know, I noticed that a lot of artists, you know what I'm saying, especially in Tampa where we was living at, you know, that popped off and doing something significant had to leave to get that success. You know what I'm saying? I want you to touch on that a little bit because, you know, I had a conversation with another artist from Tampa. And he was kind of saying the same thing, how, you know, Tampa kind of has that crab in the bucket mentality, you know, to a certain extent, but it kind of forces you to go out and seek bigger opportunities. And then for some reason, that's when the people gravitate to you. What are your thoughts on that?
Again, especially for Tampa, I'm going to say this respectfully because they're also not acknowledged. Tampa's had a music history even before of what the scene that is cracked now. Now, I'm meaning that, I don't know if you know, you're familiar who Shock G is, right?
Shock G, not the one where I used to rap, you know, with Pac, right? Not Shock G, okay. From the one that used to rap with
Tampa. Yes.
Okay.
There's only one Shock, man. There's only one Shock. Shock lived in Tampa a large part of his life. So we're talking about the guy who discovered Tupac was from, like, a large part of his Tampa. He did his high school. He was growing up out of Tampa. You know what I mean? I mean, you know, you got your Kayas. You got your, you know what I mean? There was some type of stimulus. But now the narrative is different because it's almost like, because Tampa, the city itself, is evolving crazy. So now Tampa is becoming a Miami, New York, California So because of that, where every type of business, you know, you got your Super Bowls coming, you got all the billionaires already done invested into downtown. You know what I mean? Like, the who's who is already here. It's the new prime land. You know what I'm saying? Like, if anybody's in real estate, it's a hot build right now. So with any of that, the attention's going to come. You know what I mean? The talent was here. Mm. You feel what I'm saying? There was hella talent that was here. So as far as you definitely, I had this conversation with somebody else too. You definitely have to move because you want to build your relationships organically with these people. You know what I mean? Like, I'm in Atlanta all the time. I'm in New York all the time. You know what I mean? I'm out here all the time building with the people that I rock with. You know what I mean? So with that, organically, these people are like, nah, we really rock with Buddy. It's not supposed to just the guy that you watch the videos and stuff that you never really are in tune with and seeing. And then even with the relationships, you build these relationships, if everything's organic, it should benefit both parties. Mm. You know what I mean? Both parties should do it great. And that was the biggest thing of our generation and the newer generation. Back when I hate to keep referring to, like, you know, the older rappers, the DMXs and stuff like that, when they was making their music, it was all about being the number one top dog, and that's cool. But because of that, it wasn't okay to be cool with these other rap niggas. Mm. You know what I'm saying? It was like, nah, your son's nice, but fuck that nigga. It's right. I over everything. Now, it's not that. These California nippers rocking with Dave East. You feel what I'm saying? It's different. You know what I mean? And these young boys, all the Atlanta boys, they rock with each other. You know what I mean? Like, and it's a genuine thing. And when it's genuine, it's going to always win. Mm. When it's organic, it's going to always win. You know what I mean? So that's always a positive thing. You always want to move. You know what I mean? And any upcoming artist who has this vision, you know, you expect that somebody to invest millions of dollars into you. They got to see that, okay, this dude's work ethic's up, not just recording at his friend's house and making some posts on Facebook and Instagram. You know what I mean? Like, you're going to get so far, but you're going to get them same results too. You know what I mean?
Nah, that's a fact, bro. And I definitely want to commend you on your grind. You know what I'm saying? I seen you come up, you know, from the mud. I mean, shit, we had the dream together. We was in the rap crew together. Everybody went their separate ways, but, you know, you stood the course. And one thing I super, super proud of you, bro, and super commend you on, and, you know, clap it up for you. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to have the audio clap a little louder, but this is me clapping for you organically. You got into a situation where, you know, you had to go away, you know what I'm saying, and do some time and shit. And you came back swinging, but I want to touch on when you actually went away, you know what I'm saying? Because it was a sad day, you know what I'm saying? Especially when we heard the numbers you got. It was like, damn, like, can he really bounce back from that? So I want to talk about that time in there and how you kind of, you know, you had to diversify your attention. You had to really, you know, play your role as it, you know, because you're inside. But I know the dream had to still stay alive. So talk about how you kept that dream alive, but still had to, you know, maneuver the way you needed to in prison.
I'm going to be honest. Like, the dream itself made the situation easier because at that time frame, I knew that I could rap. You feel what I'm saying? But I was like, we was young. We was getting money. Like, niggas was getting legitimate money. So it was like, all right, we get this money now or we could chase this thing. And when this situation happened, it forced me to sit down. So it forced me at that point to be like, all right, so what do you really want to do with your life? Are you going to get out? Do you want to work for this person? Or are you going to seriously do this? And I elected at that point in time to seriously do that. And when I seriously did that, I meant every day I was writing. And I'm going to tell you something. This is something I don't think I ever said, but this is one thing I'm going to commend you about. Ever since we was in high school, bro, you was the first person ever that was like, when they asked you, yo, what do you do? Yo, I'm a rapper. Like, there was nothing else. There was no, yeah, nah, I do this. It was, yo, And this was from 15, 16 years old, bro. You know what I'm saying? Like, nah, I'm a rapper. I'm clubs. You feel what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I'm that, and it was introduced as that always, and that was the persona. You dig? So yeah. It was like stuff like that made me make that decision when I went to jail. So it was like, this is what I gotta do. So if this is what I'm gonna do, I'm gonna just go all in with it. Like, I'm gonna figure out the business side to it, cause I don't got nothing but time. You feel what I'm saying? I know we can do this rap shit. Let me figure out how to structure songs better. Let me figure out, boom. And then it was a little difficult, obviously, because they had me in a spot far away where it wasn't too much hip hop. So I was just kind of like staying in the loop with whatever was on the radio. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I wrote to everything, bro. Like, it didn't matter what the hell was on. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Just to keep, you know, keep two things going. But it was like,
shop, yeah.
It definitely made the pastime, and then it also made me realize, like, all right, boom, you and probably the biggest group of critics as a grown man that you could get into. You got your surf street dudes, you got real killers, you got rapers, you got all whatever the biggest scum to the coolest people. You get what I'm saying? If you could appeal to these people who are going to all have the most to say, you know what I'm saying? And generally the most negative people, because every day you wake up in a negative situation, if you could appeal to them people, you could appeal to anybody. And when that went to happening, like, everybody, legitimately, every style of inmate to officers, you know what I mean? Like, yo, my man, I don't know what you're doing, but you probably should be doing that shit. You know what I mean? Like, and it was just, you know, when I went out, when I came out, it was full steam ahead. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so now that's what's up, man. Like you said, you sound like the dream helped you pass time, which was fucking awesome. You know what I'm saying? You know, so it's, and you mentioned, you know, kind of right into what was on the radio to keep the pen sharp. But how did you, like, manage to kind of, you know, structure it a little bit? You know, when you say you kind of learned the business in there, like, did you read books? You know, did you constantly call people, at least talk to people that were in the music business but happened to be locked up as well? Like, how did you do that?
I would order books. I would have people, like, I would have my girl go online, print out stories of different, just stuff that I had questions on, you know what I mean? Like, and I'm still not by no means am I a professor at this shit either. I'm still learning myself, you know what I mean? But what is ASCAP? What is BMI? What is, you know what I mean? Like, what is that? Why is, you know what I mean? Like, just the little things, you know what I mean? And I mean, I guess it worked. It was beneficial.
Hey, yeah, the bounce back was crazy, man. I remember. I think me and Lamont came to see you the day you got out. You was like sleeping on your mom's couch, and we came over there and we woke you up and shit. I don't know if that was the day you came home or it was the next day or some shit, but I remember. Yeah. And we stepped outside, we chilled, we smoked the L, and you rapped for us. And I remember you was beating on your chest, making the beat. And you was rapping the song and shit. And I was like, damn, like, that right there was so inspiring and motivation. Like, damn, 5 years done passed. And, like, he's still hungry for this shit. He came out just, like, beating on his chest, fucking saying a rap on beat. And it's just, like, I feel like all that time, you know, I wouldn't say wasted, but all that time spent in there was just fuel to the fire from when you came out. And shit, my brother, like, I see it coming to fruition. You know what I mean?
It's crazy because it was like, I also grew as a person too, because I read a lot of, like, just enlightening books, you know what I mean? Sharp books just to sharpen yourself, you know, you 48 Laws of Powers and stuff like that, you know. I grew as a person. So, you know, we all got, everybody grew up, you get what I'm saying? And everybody found their own lane, like, like the stuff that you doing the last time we was just here, like my brother, is just amazing. You know what I mean? Like, this is shit that knowing us as kids, we'd have never been like, nigga, what we talking about right now? You know what I mean? All the way to doing shit that niggas do, like my man, I'm doing records with Jadakiss and Style P and Benny C going like, bro, we used to rap over these guys' beats and stuff. You know what I mean? In my mom's fucking laundry room, you heard?
I remember that. Hell yeah. Hell yeah. That's funny as fuck, man. So now I'm glad you touched on those feature situations. We're gonna get into that soon, but I wanted to talk about how'd you come up with how'd you get involved with the CMG camp? You know what I'm saying? Cause when you came out, it's like, you know, you kind of got with them, and I think they had Mike Will involved, you know what I'm saying, which was a great situation for you. So talk a little bit about how that came to fruition.
Shit, that was my first rap situation ever. And that Mike Will was for the Buccaneers at the time. You know what I mean? So my man had a bag. And rap to him to own a record label was like something that he just wanted to do because he loved the cross. Somebody who could really do it. He was like, shit, this could work. So he started, you know, we put the label up together, you know what I mean? And instead of signing somebody, it was more so, I want you to have ownership of this shit, bro, because a nigga not gonna play football team. So, like, that kind of shit was big, you know what I mean? So it was like, my camp, they do their thing, you know, with our powers combined, bro. It's Captain Planet.
Right. Mm-hmm. Are you still there? Yo, Hev.
But yeah, you got, you know, Mike Will. Play for the Bucks, play for the Bills.
Your screen froze, my bro.
Yeah.
The screen is frozen. Yeah, something popped up that said your network bandwidth is low and then your screen froze. Like you just kind of paused right there and shit.
It's still in pause?
Yeah, you paused. Oh, wait. Oh. Okay, nah. You lighting up the blunt right now? Okay, cool. Yeah, you move.
Yeah.
We lit. Yeah. So now, last thing I heard was, you know, y'all wanted to build the label up together. He gave you ownership instead of just assigning you as an artist, and then you could continue from there.
The rest is history. You know what I'm saying? We writing it right now. We writing it right now.
So that situation's still going on. Y'all still got the label. He's still involved. Mm-hmm. Still building it up.
Yeah, absolutely.
Good shit.
Absolutely. Okay. We about to start signing some artists too, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so tell me about that, because I looked on your profile. Let's start signing some boys, man.
It's time to start.
Yeah, I saw on the profile you was... You know, you're into artist development now as well. So, you know, what made you want to, you know, put that hat on now? You know what I'm saying? When you're still, you know, building yourself as an artist as well, building the label. Now you want to build other artists. You know, tell me about that endeavor. Yo, you good?
The Matrix and said, I was doing for the productions that he had for some. Can you hear me? Hear me now?
Okay, you're back. Okay, it was frozen again.
My bad.
But now you're good.
Oh, my bad. Yeah, the service over here in this fucking building is trash, bro.
It's all good.
That's how we got to get back to them real, them in-house podcasts, man.
I know, man. But nobody expected this COVID-19 to come circulating the way it did. And now they talking about shit spiking and all this shit. Got the world in a frenzy, yeah, man. Shit.
Y'all do that shit was covered, man. Don't act surprised. You do that shit was covered when they started letting you slide back. The second coming, man.
Man, listen, man. I was more concerned about the stocks dropping. But, you know, it is what it is. Them shits will go back up.
That's a Fendi. But yeah, as far as the artist development stuff that we was talking about before we broke out, Neo the Matrix really was the first person that got me into that lane. I was doing some pen work for some artists that he was working with, you know what I'm saying, behind the scene. And that just kind of really like close to me. And in my camp, I was already doing it because I was with experienced people. So I learned stuff, you know what I mean? And then one thing about me, man, I passed the knowledge. Feel what I'm saying? If everybody had it, the world would be a better place. You know what I mean?
Right.
All it is information. What you do with the information is up to you.
Fact. Okay. How is Neo, man? I seen him before COVID hit. You know, I dropped off a shirt to him and shit. You guys still doing music together?
I was just with him last night, man. He just hopped off the PJ from Vegas, you know what I mean? Neo living life, man. Yeah. He's blessed, bro. Neo's really blessed, you know what I mean? So yeah, I'm trying to drag him back into music, man. I think I might have a little song on the album from.
yeah, I know he out there doing his thing. Like, he's having too much fun right now. Music's like at the bottom of the totem pole for him, but you know, that's what's up, man. But you mentioned, but shit, it sounds
the
like you're going,
the bottom
it sounds like you're going through the whole the Rough Riders. You said what?
Shit, I'm going through the whole change.
I see that you're working with Neo. Yep. Now you're doing tracks with Jada, with Kiss, you know what I'm saying? I mean, with Jada and Kiss, same person. Jada and Styles, you know what I'm saying? Beanie does. Before we get to the Jada and Styles, because I know you work with Beanie first. How'd that situation come about?
The Beanie situation was pretty organic, bro. For Seagull, probably like 2-3 times. And like the second time that I opened for him, the vibe was just right. You know what I mean? My team, you know, we did our thing. We showed out and I just kicked it to him. Like, yo, bro, you know what I mean? I'm trying to do a record. What's up? So let's get in the studio, rest that night. We made it happen. He pulled up. And then the next time he showed up, you know what I mean? Did a show with him again. And then we did the video. He wanted a trillist, man. Shout out to Beans, man. That's the OG right there, man. That's the Broad Street Bully, man. That's my guy.
Big facts, man. Now you mentioned you opened up for him. So tell me, how did that whole operation work? The whole opening up, like, what was the procedures to get those opportunities going?
Well, you know, I've been doing this shit for a little minute now, but at the time, you know, when I first started doing it, I would do whatever needed to be done to get the exposure to, whether it be sell tickets to open for this such artist or do this, that, and the third. By that particular time, the promotional company, shout out to Gen TV, every time they would bring him down, they already knew that our vibe was crazy. So, you know what I mean? Because we get this shit lit too now. So they would already just book us too. You know what I mean? So. You already know how that works. Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah, you in the building. You gotta do your do while you're there. You know what I mean? Like, as long as everything is organic, if people are rocking with you, like, I done did records with Gorilla Zoe and everything. I done stayed at Gorilla Zoe house. Like, you can't fake energy, man. If the energy is pure, the energy is real, you're gonna build it. That's why I say it's always gotta be organic. It can't be nothing forced, you know what I mean? If you're trying too hard, it could be a bad thing. You know what I mean?
That's a big fact. I remember you were running around with Gorilla Zoe. We was at think me and Danny, shout out my nigga DBZ, we pulled up to Shepherd's, and then I think Flo Rida had a show, and then you was running around with them, and y'all had to go backstage before he got on the mic and shit. I remember that. Yeah. Good stuff. So now all of that grind and hard work, you know, led to working with some of the greatest MCs that we looked up to. Jadakiss, man. I mean, you know, explain that, you know, because I know we got a mutual friend that plugged that up. You know what I'm saying? Just explain how you got with him to get to that.
Well, first of all, shout out to my brothers, Chris Streets. You know what I'm saying? Chris Streets definitely played.
Him and I, we had a rap crew. We actually had a rap crew back in the day. Me, him, and Coda. We were starting lineup. We called ourselves starting lineup. That was like right after One Hustle like separated. The crew that we had, me, Streets, and Coda had a little rap crew and shit. Coda had the apartment in Reflections. I don't know if you remember where me and Lamont used to live. Remember Reflections?
Yo, I remember that. You remember when they was recording your boy from the Making the Band, Fred, over there? Remember when from Making the Band was over there?
Yeah. You was at that session?
You brought me over there. My man was out there in the house live. He had the house lives with the flea market dog tag chains on with the pictures
on. Hell yeah. Looking like he lived across the street.
Those were experiences, though. Even as the gym, I looked, I was like, don't be that nigga when you come up, man. Don't be that dude.
I remember that session. Damn, son, that's crazy. I forgot about that. Damn, I did bring you there, huh? That's what's up. So that was the first time you met Streets? When I brought you there?
Yeah, crazy thing is that might have been the first time I met Streets.
Damn, so thank God for me. That's crazy.
Streets went to school with us, but he was after.
Holy shit, damn, man. Sounds like you owe me some money. Sounds like you owe me some money. Nah, I'm just fucking with you.
Hey, but the crazy thing is it's like we relinked back up together, like almost right before COVID. Mm. Like he ended up down there, and it was just on some organic shit. We started vibing, and we laid down a crazy record, the Wait Hold Up record. That shit crazy.
That's my joint right
and
there.
And from there, it's like, yeah, I appreciate it. That record, that's the one. As soon as they stop acting up with all this COVID shit, he can do what it do. You know what I mean?
Now I want to talk about
they let us start touring again.
Right. Now I want to talk about when you finish that, because we were actually getting into how you met with Streets and then that led to the Jada situation. You know what I'm saying? Because I know, you know, Streets went to New York and he got his situation there, but you could
proceed. Yeah, Chris got signed to Jadakiss. Mm-hmm. Chris is part of So Raspy, Us Never Them. Mm-hmm. And he, you know, Chris's mom lived down there. All our moms lived down in Tampa. That's crazy.
Right.
That was the universe did that though.
Facts.
The universe did that though. You feel what I'm saying? And basically, just he was out there vibing with us. We was rocking for like a good month or two strong, just working. You know, we was in the studio a hell of times. You know, he invited me into some opportunities. You know what I mean? And we was just working, bro. We got a tape pretty much coming out, you know what I mean? We got just so much records, you know what I mean? And Chris do the parties and stuff too. So, you know, through the parties, Jada was on tour. I went on tour and shit. And we just made it happen, man. You know how it goes.
Yeah. They just pull up and then you there and then the vibe is right. Then the shit just blossom. You know what I mean? That's what's up, yeah, man. Hell yeah. Shout out Chris Street.
But just like we was talking about when we just the up and coming artists, when I say Beat Your Feet, before any of that happened, I had already been in Atlanta with them. Not even on some, oh yeah, I rap shit. I was there. You know what I'm saying? I done been in Yonkers when they was doing the Complex interview with the Locks. I'm at the Juice Up Bar with Styles and them boys. Hey, you know, I want to do this. When they see that, that's or organic. You get what I'm saying? It was already love. It wasn't, you know what I mean? Sometimes you get over anxious. First impression, you can't never take that back.
Nah, that's a fact, man. There's definitely a time and a place for everything. You know what I'm saying? You definitely don't want to show up with your hand out, you know? So adding value is, I'm a firm believer of that, you know what I'm saying? And it seems like you and Chris was already doing things. I'm sure, you know, Jaden Styles already heard of you. So when you came to the table, you were already solidified before they even heard of you. So that just made, you know, the introduction even that much more powerful, you know what I mean? So that's what's up. But I want to talk about...
Yeah, shout out to Jaden. Shout out to Styles, man. Oh my guys, man. Real divas.
Word. I want to talk about when you actually got some traction in the city now. When you because I remember you put that song out, whatchamacallit. And I started seeing that the streets was fucking with it, clubs was playing it, the DJs was spinning it on the radio. You know, I want you to just elaborate a little bit on that grind and how, you know, you kind of made that work. You know what I'm saying? How you put it in the DJ's hands and got it to play on the radio. Like, what did you do to make that happen?
We went old school with that, bro. We was at every club. We was at every DJ. My right-hand man, shout out to T. T was on these DJs' head, bro. You don't got what in the thing? Shut the laptop down. Old school shit. You feel me? Then it was just like, damn. It's just about getting people's attention. Like, it wasn't like we was trying to push something that we knew wasn't good work. So it was like, yo, you niggas really need to listen to this. You're not listening. Nah, listen. You got to listen. And once they started listening, it was like, okay, yeah, nah, this is it. And it went good from there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man. I saw a lot of people connect. I saw a lot of people like resonating with that. You know, the video came out, you associated with the whatchamacallit candy. DJ Shizm was playing it. You know, everybody in the clubs was supporting it. You know what I'm saying? I was like, okay. You know what I'm saying? This is bubbling. This situation is bubbling. So that's what's up, man. I'm glad it led to bigger and better things, man. I mean, did you think that was going to be the one to do it, though?
Yo, I ain't gonna lie to you. I hate to even sound like this, but like, I made it with that intention. There was like a lot going on in the city at that time, and I felt like disrespected. So I was like, you know what? Let me just show you that this is what we could do, though. You know what I mean? Like, at that time, there was a lot going on. I had the little, you know what I'm saying, the little Rock Nation reps and shit around. Like, I was really trying to. So I was like, all right, boom, let me, because it was always getting that. Oh, he sounds like the New York artist because I got a vocabulary and I can really put words together. You know what I'm saying? And the way that I articulate myself. But man, I'm as Florida as you could get. You feel me? I'm as Florida as you could get. So at that, I was like, all right, so boom. I did the whatchamacallit. And then it led to the wait, hold up. And, you know, that almost, I'm going to see how to put this, like, fully developed is, you know what I mean? Like, I guess I can't. Damn, when you do this, I mean, do this with this. Like, it's almost evolving, I guess is the best way to put it.
Yeah, you said, yo, I'm going to be honest with you, you were breaking up something crazy. So the only thing I heard was, it's almost like evolving. So everything before the evolve, I need you to say it exactly the way you said it. That fucking bandwidth is low over there, daddy.
Really?
Not all of it, not we're all of it, but we got to the part where you was like,
Hollywood too.
Yo, you were saying that the record, you wrote it with that intent, and then that's where shit started going haywire. And then the follow-up was, it's almost like evolving. So I'm like, yo, if you said a message, nigga, we missed it.
Yeah, basically, I wrote that record with the intent to be an impactful record, like a statement record, if anything. You know what I mean? And in the pursuit of making that record, I just put a version artistically of myself that ended up being the final version of what I was an artist, you know what I'm saying? So in the journey of making that record, you know what I mean? So it was like, that's a dope record for me.
Everything, the stars definitely aligned on that record.
This is really, you know, not what I'm saying? With me. Let me, this is kind of what's happening. You kind of like, that was like the first record that I did all the business right on. You know what I mean? We own the beats, we own this, that. Like, that was definitely a turning point for me, that record. You know what I mean? That's when I knew a lot of the knowledge, but I didn't apply a lot of the knowledge until about that time in my career. And that was also something I wish I would have did earlier. You know what I mean? And that's why I say sometimes when you're wearing all the hats, like, I might know I need to register this. I might know these DJs need these and these stuff, or these people might need drops. But to not have somebody consistently on you to remind you that, that'll slip your mind quick. And one day turns into a week, turns into a month. You feel what I'm saying? 6 months down the line, you're like, damn, I never sent this whole section of people this song. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And those be little things, you know what I mean? That's wearing all the hats again. You know what right. I mean?
Nah, that's a big fact, man. Good shit. Now, I want to talk about when your daughter was born, you know what I'm saying? Because that, you know, that responsibility can change a man, you know what I'm saying? Let alone an artist, you know what I'm saying? So I just want to talk about, you know, how that, I'm sure it affected you in a positive way, but, you know, there's things that we do as men that we kind of alter when, you know, when we have daughters, because we want to be that prime example of what, you know, a man should be and the type of man she should be with, you know, ultimately. So, you know, one, how did that change you as a man? Two, how did that change you as an artist and the way you write, especially like towards women?
I'll say this. It was probably the most important day of my life, right? For a couple reasons. One, it made me realize you can no longer be selfish, because now it's no longer about yourself, whether it be in pursuit of this dream or not. Because a lot of people don't understand, when my daughter was, I was with Mike Will at that time. So financially, I was doing okay. You get what I'm saying? But it wasn't enough, because I'm with this millionaire every day. And yeah, I had a room in the mansion and all that too, but I'm still coming back to my little 2-bedroom crib. And it's like, damn, this is where I really should be. You know, I got to put realistic expectations on what can we do to accomplish this though. So it was like, even though I had this rap situation, my hustle grind of myself was so hard during that time period. Like, yo, I got to make sure that this little girl's good for whatever, you know what I mean? Whatever it is that she needs, you know what I mean? So it was almost like a year period that I would still be in the clubs and they would still be playing old records of mine. So of course I still had traction, but it wasn't like new music was being produced. You know what I mean? I might write here and there, but I wasn't in the studio like I probably should have been. You know what I mean? So it was like almost have to re-put yourself on again type vibe. You know what I mean? And then that's when the records also as well, like the time period as the Stop Reachings and the Whatchamacallits came out. You know what I mean? And then it went up from there. You know what I mean? It was go time from there. Like, we was Wild Boys, man. Shout out to Mike again. Mike is my daughter's godfather.
That's what's up. You know what I mean?
So Mike's birthday is on the 18th of May, and my daughter's is the 19th of May. So we were celebrating Mike Will's birthday till 4:35 in the morning. I'm home slumped, and I got an hour of rest. I got to go get my daughter's about to be born 2-3 hours. Like, those were moments like that, like, yo, now you don't need to do this no more. Now you probably shouldn't do this no more. You know what I mean? At that point, it was one of the most important people to me, so it didn't matter. Like, it's whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Nah, that's what's up, man. And I'm glad, you know, it changed you for the better. And it actually sounds like it made you stronger. It made you grind harder. You know what I'm saying? And that's, oh, shout out to that record, Grind Hard, we got. You know what I mean? A shameless plug. You know what I mean?
Plug.
Nah, but I'm glad it did, man. I saw the change in the grind the fire that ignited in you when she came about. You know what I'm saying? So that's what's up, man. Now tell me, did COVID affect you at all? Did COVID affect your grind at all? You know what I'm saying? Because this slowed a lot of people's grind up, a lot of people's paper up, a lot of people's hopes up. 2020 took a lot of people from us, man.
It did. I ain't gonna lie. I was just speaking with my little cousin about this earlier today, too. COVID made you realize if you was a hustler or not, because yes, the country shut down, but there was opportunities that was given to a lot of people that if you capitalized correctly, could have jump-started a lot of stuff for you to do future endeavors. You know what I mean? Like, a lot of business owners were created during this pandemic. You know what I mean? A lot of people did go under, which it's unfortunate. You know, like I said, it's just the nature of the beast. You know what I mean? So it's like, I felt like it brought the hustle out of people, but not to sound like none, it ain't really do. I wasn't affected by it, if that's what you was asking.
Pretty much what I was asking was you personally, was you affected by it in any way, shape, or form?
You know
what I'm saying?
Nah. Mm-hmm. The only way that it really did, I'm going to say this, though. The only thing it did affect. So I dropped my last single I dropped was Wait, Hold Up with Chris Streets. And that record, it's crazy that you brought it up because, you know, you could feel the difference. I felt that momentum with whatchamacallit, so I knew kind of where we was at. So Wait, Hold Up was the fastest that I felt that, like, it was the bigger clubs that I hadn't accomplished yet, and we was already cracking. I'm talking like the Ritzes and Ebor and the, you know what I mean? Like, just the bigger clubs. So it was like, damn. And then the COVID shit shut all the clubs down. So it was like, shit, I kind of should have held that bullet. You know what I mean? But at the same time, you got to feed the people anyways. So we got a hella product now, but I feel that was the worst part for me, you know, as a business owner standpoint, like, damn, we probably should have held on to that record. You know what I mean? Like, it's just waited a second, you know what I mean? But it is what it is. You know, we got enough product. We'll keep it pumping.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, man. You just got to keep pumping more hits because although that song is hot, you know, eventually it's going to run its course. Not saying it won't be a timeless record, but I'm saying, you know, people want to hear more. You know what I'm saying? So you just got to keep hitting them, dog. Keep hitting and keep adapting with the time because, you know, nobody predicted this COVID shit. But like you said, it birthed a lot of new business owners and shit. So that's what it's all about, man. But I mean, you know what I mean? Like,
how about yourself? I know you don't get questions asked on you. How about yourself? How did it affect you, man?
Ah, oh, man. I mean, honestly, as far as the acting thing is concerned, it affected me a lot because all the jobs stopped. Like, Hollywood shut down. No filming at all. So, you know, I couldn't rely on that.
Oh, yeah. Side note, you ain't gonna keep being nonchalant and shit. You really doing, like, movies on big screens and shit. I seen you. I'm motherfucking watching football commercials. I got my man Gillette commercials and shit with the caveman. Like, you was out there doing your due. Like, some real movie. You had trailers and shit.
Yeah. You know, still do my thing here and there. You know what I'm saying? So, then thank you for those flowers while I can smell them, my brother. I appreciate that. You know what I mean? But, like you said, I was doing that. Then COVID came and it just flipped the whole switch on me. You know what I'm saying? So I couldn't really rely on that source of income. So, you know, I had to make a pivot. So I saw that everybody was going to be wanting this PPE, you know, this medical supply. So I jumped in with a few medical supplies and basically put my salesman hat on. You know, we both came up in the telemarketing days, you know what I'm saying? And I saw a need for it. So I just aligned myself with some different medical supplies and just like, yo, became an independent contractor for him and was like, yo, listen, I find you buyers, you give me commission, we do the 1-2 thing like that. And I kind of just been stepping and repeating with that throughout this time. And you know, I've been doing pretty well with it. You know what I'm saying? Because of the need and the supply and demand and all of that. So yeah, it did affect me, but it also, it made me stronger in a sense, because, you know, I had to tap into my inner hustler. I had to, you know, stop being a dreamer for a second and get back to, you know, that 9-to-5 grind. Like even with the sales reps that they had, bro, they ain't come from, they were newbies. So they would just share like the inventory they had. I did what we used to do, bro. I was calling 300 motherfucking numbers a day. Like, hello, this is Cheyenne from how you doing today? Good. This is what I got. Doing that shit on a daily basis for myself this time. Not for nobody else paying me 9-to-5 money. This is you eat what you kill. You know what I'm saying? So I kind of got on it like that and just kept doing that. And, you know, once I started the Sleepers for Billionaires thing before that, you know what I'm saying? I had all the content. I figured, yo, how am I going to keep building this brand? Because I was solely relying on the podcast. I was like, fuck it. Let me start the clothing line and just get it popping on social media and push it with the content. And, you know, again, stepping and repeating and just pushing as hard as I can. You know what I mean? And that's pretty much what I'm doing during COVID.
I need some more hats. You need some fat boy sizes too, man.
That's coming next week. I got you, man. I put in a custom order just for you. What you say? You say you're a 6X, right? Nah, it's all love, brother. You already know. I got you, man. But yeah, that's pretty much so, how I adapted, man. And yeah, man, I'm sad of what happened during COVID, but I'm glad, you know, that, you know, we're still alive to talk about it.
That's an absolute fact, man. Every day above, man, it's a blessing, man. It's a day to get better. You know what I mean? It's a day to strive, man, for your goals.
Facts, man. I see you got the cookies brand over there, y'all, and I see you've been doing your things with Peeps. Tell me about that opportunity you got. Like, is that like a brand sponsorship you got going on, a brand ambassador type situation? What's that about?
Definitely a brand ambassador of the company. You know what I mean? We got some situations going there. I don't want to prematurely say something I probably shouldn't say, but we definitely have some endeavors with a couple different people. You know what I'm saying? I ain't gonna say nothing, but yeah, you know, yeah.
You'll hear about it.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Nah, that's
so, yeah, man. Peeps rocking, man. You know what I mean? But yeah, it's the best thing smoking, man. You know what I mean?
Hell yeah. Well, shit, that's what it is, man. Well, shit, man. I mean, I ain't got no more questions, man. I want you to at least one more thing, man. Give some words of encouragement or words of advice for people trying to get into this industry, man, and really who want this dream but really don't have the guidance and know how to get there. And, you know, with COVID happening, even don't even think it's possible anymore, man. Give them some words of encouragement, some guidance real quick, bro.
Well, first things first. Anything is possible. You know what I mean? I'm living proof of stuff that we could only say shit that we dreamed of. You know what I mean? Like, I done opened for Nas. I done did records that are our own records with, you know, people that we idolized growing up in. You know what I mean? So it's like, and you're talking to somebody who had to give away 4.5 years of my life. You know what I mean? So anything is possible. You know what I mean? Anything is possible if you apply yourself. Now, the main thing, like I tell you, is knowledge, man. Learn what it is that you want to do. If this music is something that you want to do, then fully learn it. Learn every aspect of it. And if you're not going to learn every aspect of it, make sure you got somebody on your team that does know those aspects. You get what I'm saying? And you could do anything. You don't really need people right now. Right now, the biggest thing is financially. You know what I mean? So whatever you can't compensate financially in the music industry, you're going to have to go with grind. You're going to have to outgrind your financial shortness. You know what I mean? And just right now, especially in the industry that we're in, I mean, it's a beauty. Me and you come from an era where this was an art. This is something that we were super passionate about. something that we love. This was something was like, you know what? Every time me and you doing a record together, nigga, I want to have a better verse than you. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And vice versa. Like, I already know. He's like, yo, we gonna smoke this shit. You know what I mean? Like, it was a competitive thing. Like, it's like playing basketball. It's just like if we all played basketball together, you want to win, don't you? Right. You're not playing the motherfucking game to lose. You know what I mean? So it's like, the game almost lost a little bit of that competitive edge. And it's not a bad thing because it also got more unified with that. You know what I mean? Which was a good thing because you could win more unified than you could win divided. So just basically staying on your shit right now, hustle overworks talent. You know what I mean? In the game that we in, cause you can always get better. You get what I'm saying? But you can't, if you're not a hustler, if it's not in you, then it's not something that you learn. You know what I mean? You got to really want it. And you know that. You're a testament to that, my bro. I remember when you first told me, you're like, yo, I'm moving to California to be an actor. I'm like, an actor, bro? Where do you even begin? You know, as a rapper, I could go to a club and try to figure out how I could get my song played. But as a fucking actor, where the fuck do you go to be like, yo, my man, I want this part to be Denzel? You know what I mean? Like, right. That's different, bro. You know what I mean? And you did that, bro. And you made that shit work. So you are the motherfucking testament to anything can happen. You get what I'm saying? Like, you are, if anybody is.
Thank you for that, man. Appreciate that. Shit like that just keeps me going, man. You know what I'm saying? As long as I'm alive, I'm going to just keep the dream alive and, you know, I mean, be motivated by inspiring others. You know what I mean? So, you know, and I see you do that as well, brother, because you inspired me as well. And I see you with Kiss and even with Chris Streets, you know who, because, you know, there was a point in my life I was with him every day and now we moved on and you with him and
yeah.
Blossoming. Like, I love that.
Yo, shout out to my bro, man. My bro doing his thing, bro. He on a super grizzly, man. Super humble dude, bro. That's my bro, man.
Yeah. It's fucking crazy. Now, towards the end, the camera wants to get perfect. Your camera's perfect right now. So before it was like all grainy and stuff, and now it's perfect. That's just crazy. But we're going to make it work, though, man. But, ladies and gentlemen, this has been another episode of Sleepers for Billionaires, the podcast. My man, Heavy Lyrics, Johnny Vegas. Let the people know where they can follow you and where they can tap in with everything you got going on, where they could buy the album, Black Tape Project, all that, man.
What to do with the business is your boy, Heavy Lyrics, man. You can find me anywhere, any platform, at Heavy Lyrics. Spotify, YouTube, you want it for free, you can go on that Piff, you can go on everywhere, SoundCloud, right? If you want to pay for the support, I love the support. If you just want to listen to it, I love that support too, man. Go run it up, man. We out here.
That's what it is, man. Yo, stay up, my brother. I love you. I'm proud of you. You know what I'm saying? We're going to link up. How long you in town for?
Man, you know, I'll be out here for a few more days, man. We need to grab a bite, man. You already know.
Yeah, because I'm gonna be on your side tomorrow. So I'll hit you up like early afternoon and we'll figure it out.
Pull up, man. I'm out here in the penthouse, man. You know what I mean? Every time I step outside, I gotta look at the Hollywood sign, you know what I mean?
Hey, just to remind yourself where you're going.
where I'm supposed to be. Where we right. at? Now where right. we going, we here.
We're here now.
You feel what I'm saying? A lot of people ain't left New York. A lot of people ain't left Tampa. A lot of people ain't left their city. They only been in the city limits.
Unfortunately, man.
You out here, bro. You out here striving.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You're gonna get it, man. All right, man. I see you sipping the tea. You don't forget you with the pinky up and all of that. My brother, take care of yourself. I'm going to see you tomorrow. Love is love, man. Thank you for the interview, man. This was great. Can't wait to put it out there, man.
Love, bro. Love you, man. Be good, my guy. Stay safe.
All right. I'll see you tomorrow.
Peace. One.